Hello, everyone, and it's time for another blockchain chat with Daniele Menzi. Ciao, Daniele. Hello.
Hey, Dario. Ciao, come stai? Glad to be here.
Oh, good. There it is, a bit of an Italian chat to start. Nothing better, especially for me, but I'm now in Italy, Daniele, strangely, but only for a short time. But nothing more far from where I am is what I'd like to talk to you, which is all that is happening in Silicon Valley right now. And you could also say that it's not just the Silicon Valley, but it's even part of China, UK, etc. All the big game spot. Interesting news that I've been reading, and interesting news for our membership, because we at Mobile Ecosystem Forum have historically covered games, one of the biggest and most successful applications of content. The bigger part of a gaming industry is actually in games industry, is in mobile. Now, why do I talk about games with Daniele Menzi, which is our blockchain expert? Yes, you guess it. What is a big one? I mean, some people are saying that blockchain is now finding the real its real home in telecom with the games. One of the first activity to actually look for innovations by definition. But interestingly, one activity that has really been particularly affected by lack of trust, international transactions, a lot of them, not just of them, but all the problem with licensing of having something. So for all of you out there that have never played a mobile game or an international game on PC, you might want to buy after a while, after playing for free, something. And that something could simply be at another level, another element. And that creates an entire issues of how to pay for those. And some people are saying, that's the answer. You look at blockchain, you look at cryptocurrencies. Daniele, tell us, is this true or is it just another dream out there?
Well, first of all, I would say first and foremost, and we have, you know, a real world example by, you know, top game companies that have embraced the journey of using either cryptocurrencies or creating their own payment flow, essentially to improve their cash flow, because once they have an app and they list an app on Google Play or an Apple Store, and all their in-app purchase that gamers are doing within the game are obviously are subject to a fee that Google and Apple charge to the provider. So in this case, to the game company. And obviously this is not at the expense of a client, but simply the game company receive you know, a small amount of money, okay? Typically, you know, this is something in the region of 30%, which is not neglectable, you know, especially for bigger volume of transactions. And since, I would say, 2017, 2016, companies started to embrace a kind of a path of a peer-to-peer method of payment. So using cryptocurrencies or using their own token. So this happened back in ICO date in 2017, where most of those ICO were scam. Scam means, in this case, people were creating a token to finance a business model. At the end of the day, the money they received, it was supposed to be CapEx-like, so as an investment, but it was not treated as an investment, but it was, in fact, they were giving back to those that providing money just a functional utility, but no real company equity or no real structured product in the back or structured asset in the back. So, and right now, more and more company and embracing the path of introducing cryptocurrency. So not their own token, but they use a cryptocurrency. Let's say, for example, say Bitcoin, because it's commonly known as a means of payment. Obviously, there are pros and cons in doing this. There is a pro, which is if you do a kind of a peer-to-peer payment, then those companies will not have to pay 30% fee. But still, Bitcoin right now is not a very efficient method of payment, because transaction is not settled immediately. It takes time, because Bitcoin, to produce a block, takes minutes of time. So sometimes you have to wait even 20 minutes and nothing happens. So you don't see the payment going on the other side. So if you don't see the payment, how can you authorize the transaction if you never know whether this guy has money, in this case, Bitcoin, on the wallet or not? So, Bitcoin is very efficient to avoid the double spending. So this means once it's confirmed, it's truly confirmed, it's proven and it works. But so somehow it's not designed to handle big amount of payments, and because of speed and because of cost, essentially. But obviously, Bitcoin is widely adopted. There is another problem. People are not willing to use Bitcoin to pay because it's going high in value. So, and if I have a Bitcoin and then it's doing 10% up in value, my 100 Bitcoin tomorrow will be 110. Why should I have to pay using my 100 if it's going too high, or, you know, it's moving too high in value over time? So that's why people, not very, in my personal view, not very welcome to use Bitcoin as a you know, micro means of payment, rather using other cryptocurrencies that are much more efficient in terms of speed and in terms of cost, and perhaps they might have even less volatility.
And I would add that sometimes the old things, we always talk about the new, but the old things might be working. In many countries, direct card billing is still a valuable solution to pay, and that's fast, and that's, you know, licensed locally, so owned by your mobile operators, and is also an alternative to some of the platform. In some countries, it is not, you know, the kind of FT payment, platform payment we've seen, just like you mentioned, the one from the app stores. So maybe that could be another solution. But similarly, in some countries, it is very expensive for a developer and some of that.
But in let's say in the crypto space, there are many solutions which are already available and works perfectly. For example, I heard many times people telling Bitcoin is a store of value, and we can use also as a means of payment. We can argue, you know, to me, something that fluctuates so wildly in terms of price, you know, very seldom is a store of value. Store of value means, you know, something, I have 100 euro worth of this asset. I don't expect this asset worth 20 in 2 years from now. Otherwise, it's not store of value. It's just wildly store of value. So that's why right now there are some, the so-called stable coin. So for example, USDC, USDT, and other USD pegged currencies that are cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, but they can be used to make payments and they are not exposed to volatility. So what is the benefit in using this? You achieve the same that you can achieve while using Bitcoin, but you're not exposed to such volatility. But then you can settle a transaction pretty easily with no cost and with no such a, you know, huge time validation that both Bitcoin and Ethereum are exposed.
And if you were interested as a game player or one of the, you know, publisher out there, what would you have to do right now to analyze and see what options are there?
Well, first of all, I would say evaluating the tech feasibility on introducing the crypto as a means of payments, number one, is the tech feasibility, because at the end of the day, once you process, for example, USDT or USDC, then you make a transaction across wallets, okay? And those wallets have to be compatible with that protocol, with that cryptocurrency, okay? So, and you have to put yourself in the shoes of your clients, that if they want to buy something paying in crypto, like for example USDC, they have to buy USDC. So either you provide, you as a company, you provide a mean to exchange your dollars via credit card and then to transform into USDC or USDT, or then you have to provide kind of an interface to an exchange to swap currencies, like as I said, US dollar, euro, whatever, into the cryptocurrency that you plan to use to make this transaction. The benefit in using this, so for example, if you have a credit card and then you want to use USDT, is a real benefit for a client? Not really. So if you want to pay by credit card, you want to pay $100 worth of whatever service for the gaming, as opposite to pay in USDT, if you have to convert your $100 into USDT and then make a payment, you just have to make a step more. So from a UX experience, it's not really nice because you have to convert your US dollar into USDC, eventually pay a transaction fee, and then make a transaction. But you can reverse. You can say, if I'm paying 100, then I'm having 70 worth of something, okay? Because something else will be shared, obviously, with Google and Apple. They deserve this money because they're doing a job. While if you transact directly with me, I can give you more value for the same amount of money. Okay? So that's the you know, how it can be leveraged or how it can be, you know, gamed, so to say. Because if you give the same value for the same $100 paying USDT or US dollar, why people should do that? Well, eventually some crypto aficionados like me can go there, they have some left the USDC and say, okay, I'm paying with the USDC. But that's not the common user, you know, that doing this. While if you reverse and say, hey, if you use 100 USD, since I'm paying less fee because I'm not paying 30%, right? In that case, if you do direct transaction, then eventually I can give you more value for it, provided that Apple and Google accept that an app can work with those two methods of payment, inside and outside. Because there are some apps that are choosing the crypto path, saying we don't give you the option. It's only USDC, or eventually you pay with credit card, but they don't list their app on Google Play or on App Store, okay? So in that case, obviously, if they use a traditional fiat, they pay kind of a fee to the payment service provider, is not 30%. But if they use crypto, then they can give even more value. So try to incentivize digital native people to download the app, not from Apple or Google Store, but to Apple, to download from their website, for example. In that case, they can do whatever they want.
Wait, time-wise, I think that's all that we have for this week. Short, but sweet. And what we touched on, very important topic for us, which is gaming. And I think we will come back, as we do on a regular basis, to all of the topics which you want us as well. Do write to us for anything. It's info@mobileecosystemforum.com. And do say within that is something about the podcast, and we will listen and report back on all of your questions. For now, Daniele, thank you very much. That's been great.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Always a pleasure it is for us as well. To all of you as well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.